This is HPR episode 2575 entitled, Quick Tips June 2018. It is hosted by Operat Nero R and is about 14 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, I go over a few quick tips for June.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Another quick tip here. We have a probably 8-year-old can opener, electric can opener here. And I have gone through once, probably 2 years ago, and sharpened the little blade on there. Now this time around, it seemed like the blade was still sharp, but it wasn't operating functionally. What I found out is that the little grabber bit that sits on top, the can sits on top of, was rounded off. So the problem there is that if it's rounded off, right, it's not going to hold the can up in which to grab it. It's grabbing it, but it's not holding it up because it's rounded off on the actual can opener part. So the blade wasn't the problem. It was the part that holds the can up and grabs it and rotates it around. So what I did I used a sand Dremel tool with sandpaper and sanded it flat down so that it's nice and sharp on the edges there, and it grips the can a little bit better. So if your can opener is not working, check first the sharpness, and then also check to see if the little grabbers are grabbing, and then also check to make sure that the grabbers that are grabbing are also holding up the actual can itself, because if it's not holding up the can, then it doesn't matter how good the grabbers are and how good the blade is. If it can't hold up the can because it's rounded off, you're going to have a bad time. But anyways, hope that helps somebody out. Hopefully this will last us another 3 or 4 years, and then we won't have to be consumers. This is another quick tip for you. Got a Power Wheels from my father that was pink, so we painted it red with some special plastic paint. And then also the batteries are like $80 or $90 or something ridiculous. What you can do is take a motorcycle battery, shove it in there. Of course, you have to make sure the kid's not licking the batteries or dumping battery acid all over himself. So that's a cheap way to get out of that for $30-$50. Then also, what we did find is that even if you do cover the car, if you can't put it in a garage or a protected area, if you cover the vehicle, at least here in Georgia, every year I tend to get ants in there to live in the homes. So what I'm trying now, and will probably be better success, is essentially drilling holes wherever there's water. So the ants use the car as a good cover, and if there's nowhere for them to cover, if we leave it open with maybe the lid open, or maybe we drill holes in the top of the car for the ants to, that they can't control whatever. So anyways, I'm going to drill holes where there's standing water in the car and let it just sit out. Again, I guess if you have a good paint job on it, you won't want it sitting out and you still have to cover it. But what I found is when you cover it, it becomes a great home for ants, at least here in Georgia. So that's a quick tip. Put a battery acid, lead acid battery in your, or liquid acid battery in your Power Wheel. Save yourself $50. And also use, maybe instead of a tarp, start drilling holes where the water gets built up and see how it goes from there. Cool. Hello, welcome to another quick tip with your host operator. I've had a few jobs over the past, 8 years or so. More and more of these jobs are being online, and HR is through online, and you sign up and you have to get a new job and you have to sign up for 15 different online web services through HR bullcrap. I'll tell you that I have at least three logins for the same domain name for different HR websites for different companies. And people are starting to implement forced two-factor authentication on some of these websites. And when I'm trying to get my spouse to help me, or I'm trying to help my spouse, it's literally impossible to coordinate that help when you're getting sent two-factor authentication and you're in the middle of a meeting. So what I've proposed and what I'm setting up right now is a free Google Voice number, and that Google Voice number will be for all our shared two-factor authentication services, including Mint and whatever else garbage people throw at us, because this is getting ridiculously out of hand. Again, multiple websites for multiple HR companies, for multiple companies for the same domain, and it's just all over the place. We can't keep track of it, even with two separate LastPass accounts. We can't keep track of which goes with which company and which one is deprecated and which one aligns with what and what part of what is an HR thing and which one's another type of insurance thing. And we got a account over here for savings and account over here for some kind of thing. And it's just all over the place. And especially it's frustrating enough just like that. And then when you add two-factor on top of that, you know, your spouse or you are trying to do something and you get your wife gets a push message while you're in the middle of trying to set something out, and they're not there to respond back or give you that text message. So this quick tip is a very frustrating tip to set up two-factor authentication on a shared account through Google Voice and use that for all of your two-factor authentication needs where you need to share that second factor. This is not obviously a security risk, right? If you don't have that device or you lose control of that Google Voice number, you've given up that two-factor. But for the amount of pain and exhaustion that it has caused me, I'm going to use this method, and we're going to use that for all our stupid two-factor crap that we don't really care about.
Hello again, this is Operator with another quick tip. We have here is a pretty fancy Honeywell Quiet Care, which is nothing but quiet, a water-based humidifier. So the way it works is it's got this big filter on there that's like $30, $40 a piece. You put the filter on there, you fill up these jugs with water. They hold about 4 quarts, maybe half a gallon or a gallon each. And it's a humidifier, and it does a pretty good job. The problem is the filters are like $40 a piece. So after not being able to order one like the third time, they get all moldy and nasty because it's made out of paper and a layer of like felt almost. We bought some of this gutter guard stuff, plastic gutter guard with like a little plastic mesh on it. And my wife tie wrapped it all together to make approximately the same size as the existing filter. And what it seems like I'm going to end up doing is kind of tucking it inside of itself while I do this. This might be considered a soundscape. So I have an old towel, just using an old towel. I'm going to fold it in and kind of roll it at the same time and see if I can kind of roll it inside of itself. So I'm taking one half, I'm laying it down flat on long ways inside of the cylinder, and I'm kind of rolling it up and folding it inside of itself. So essentially I have a big towel in the shape of the gutter guard setup. And it looks like I might just take this, put it upside down, kind of throw it in here. The whole point of it is to actually create a, this looks like it's a little snug. It might not fit, I might have to make it smaller. I don't even think the plastic is actually gonna fit in here. Just barely. We didn't leave any room for the actual towel to lay on top, is the problem, it looks like. But anyways, the whole idea is you can do this at a hotel even also. You can take an old towel, drape it over the air conditioning vent, and that will give you your humidifier. So if you're in a really dry area or in a really dry part of the hotel, you can throw a towel inside of the trash can with a full thing of water, and the towel will act as a wick laying over the edge of the deal. So anyways, that's a quick tip. If you're on traveling and you need a humidifier, and if you've got a humidifier and you need to replace the filter, and you don't want to spend $40 on a filter, you just kind of make your own with some tie wraps and some plastic gutter guard.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. I apologize for the audio, but I am sitting in gridlock traffic on the lovely Atlanta highways. So I figured I'd use this time to give you some feedback on a anonymous email kind of setup. Semi-anonymous, semi-protected email. So I originally had a SMS-based email through, I want to say, the Yandex email service provider. And I used a free SMS service that would send you the activation codes. So a lot of the free email services now want you to send a, you know, authorization code to validate that you're the person you say you are, or to validate the actual identity of you and or the account. What I did end up with is getting myself locked out of it after 90 days or whatever. They wanted to send another SMS message to that account, and since it was a free account, I didn't have access to it and all that good stuff. So I had to start from scratch. I had a couple people in our local community here in Roswell, Counterpoint Hackers, and they said that Proton Mail and also Securabit, let me just a second, bitmessage.ch and Proton Mail are some places to start. So first things first, hopped on the Tor network, so to kind of maintain some area of somewhat anonymous is up for debate. But anyways, I did the best I could. Hopped on a kind of public AP, hopped on Tor, and then started the Proton Mail approach. And what I discovered is what you have to do is come up from a country that, for whatever reason, different countries have different setups and requirements for activation of the mail services. So when I came out of, for example, maybe it was, I don't know, a certain country, once I, my exit node in Tor, which you can change inside of the browser bundle setup of Tor, you can have your exit node be a different country, and I don't particularly remember what country it was, but it did not require an alternative email and or an SMS to activate their service. So once I was able to create the Proton Mail account, I activated it, had it all set up, and then I set up the bitmessage.ch account and used the Proton Mail for the bitmessage and the bitmessage for the Proton Mail. So this way, if I lock myself out of one, or one wants to activate with the other, I can have that feature. So if for whatever reason something comes across and my login gets invalid, or something gets locked out, I can use the alternative email account to lock out the other one. I would suggest using this method, having an email account backup to be in another anonymous email account backup. I'm sure there's other ways to do this, but I found a really difficult time getting free SMS messages. And again, I locked myself out of the Yandex account because I didn't have access to that phone number again. And I don't know what service I used or what number I used when I set up the original service. I thought it'd be fine once I activated it and be good to go. So, and I use that for public disclosure of vulnerabilities that I find within, if I'm working with a particular piece of software that I want to kind of rename anonymous, but send that out to CERT and a couple other folks in the community, I can kind of maintain that at least first line of somewhat anonymity from using those accounts. And I don't necessarily want the credit for any of that stuff. I just want people to fix blatantly hilarious vulnerabilities that you find, and just day-to-day using software. Anyways, I hope this helped you guys out. It's a quick one. Feel free to let me know any comments you guys have, and feel free to record another show if you know if there's any other methods to get some internet-facing based email accounts anonymously. You know, you've got things like the I2P protocol and things like that are kind of also up for debate. But I'm interested to hear you guys' episodes and podcasts on alternative ways to anonymize yourself through the internet, but also have a way for people to contact you somewhat securely. Anyways, have a great weekend, and hope you guys can contribute. Thanks.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.